Faces, Heels, and Tweeners. Sunday night's main event proudly brings to you the East Coast podcasting champions of the world, Brad the Dad and Greg Father Feltham, your Smack Daddies.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review for Sunday night's main event. I am Brad the Dad, and riding shotgun with me is my tag team partner, Greg Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
I realize I'm giving you the side eye because I have my camera positioned differently, but that's not the big change today.
You always give me the side eye, so how's that different?
It's not what's different. Today, what's different is that you are recording, you are on the road today because you are living the dad life.
I am. I am recording this from my office in Dartmouth. Took me a little while to get reset up and get acquainted here, but we are here, Bradley, to talk some SmackDown in what was the final recording for 2023. So,
yeah, and maybe our final recording, but we'll do something for next week. It'll all come down to we're going to read spoilers and decide how we're doing this. Also, this one's on me, guys. So I am running a retreat next weekend on Friday. We'll be in the Christmas holiday. So like, and I would say not a real retreat. It's just like a lock-in. So it's like 7 to 9, a couple of the young adults will be supervising with me, but I know I'm not getting any sleep.
No, and I am also away next weekend. So it worked out well for both of us. So
yeah.
I've got a plan. I've got a great plan. So,
okay. Well, you got a plan, and I have an idea for a Christmas special episode that we can put out for the Christmas break week where they're doing a recap show, and rather than do a recap show, I have an idea.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. So what, you were not home watching wrestling last night. I was. I watched it after I kicked the boy downstairs with his mother. My wife finished The Crown, or at least as much as it's on Netflix right now. And then they went and watched basketball. And I put my Switch down for the second time that day and said, okay, I guess I got to do something else.
I have not finished The Crown yet. I have the last, I think, 4 episodes to go. So I managed to get one of the new series or the new set, but that's it. This is it. It's all over. So
yeah, and they only released it in 2 chunks. So once the second chunk comes out, that's it. That's the whole series.
That was Friday or Thursday. They released the second chunk. So it's over now. But I just need to catch up on the last couple.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So no, I spent last night having a bit of an adventure. My wife has been at me for 2, maybe 3 years now of replacing the couch in our living room. And she had a goal in mind that she wanted this new couch in place for Christmas. So she has been the driving force because I have not gotten off my ass to do it. And she was going to have this new couch for Christmas. She already had one picked out at IKEA. She had actually pre-bought the cover for it because she found it used and she's very happy with it. But every time we went to do it, there didn't have any in stock or we didn't have time. So she cleared the decks and said, okay, Friday, we're going to do this. We're going to rent a truck. We're going to go and get this couch. So it's fine and good. Of course, that means on Wednesday night being my garbage night with pickup on Thursday, she says, okay, Wednesday, I'm tossing the old couch. I was double booked on Wednesday night, so she went home and her and my 13-year-old managed to dismantle the old couch and get it out of the house, which was, you know, a great feat, and I didn't have to. But I told her, you know, when I get home, I'll help. I mean, even if it's 10 o'clock in the night, we'll do it. No, it was done. So yesterday I came into the office here and I'm just around the corner from Home Depot. So I went down and checked to make sure they had a van for me and they had one set aside, which was great. I went to IKEA, I bought the couch, and while they were prepping and picking up the couch at IKEA, I took off and went to Home Depot, picked up the van because you have a 90-minute clock that starts when you rent that van, that it's got to be back in 90 minutes or they start charging up the wazoo. So I grabbed the van from Home Depot, booted it back to IKEA, which is only about a 2-minute drive, assuming you don't have every damn red light along the way. and loaded up this couch and then drove the 25 minutes to home, got it in through the door, up over the stairs, and booted it back to IKEA, to Home Depot to return said couch, said van, while my wife and son are at home. And I was also given strict instructions to provide and bring home supper. So I went and picked up supper and brought home supper. And when I came home, they had the couch built from IKEA, covers on, and sat on it ready for supper. So, I mean, I couldn't ask for it much better than that. But yeah, I spent my night purchasing and procuring a new couch. So that was my Friday night prior to wrestling. I don't think I started the show till an hour and 15 minutes in. So I was a little bit late finishing it. So I'm glad we didn't record last night. And of course, I had an early start to today. So that's why we pushed it to this morning. But here I am. My son did his first refereeing jobs this morning. He started at 8 and he's running till 11. So I stayed around, watched his first one, and then grabbed some breakfast, came over here to the office so I could chat with my buddy Brad, and we can talk about some news of the week and talk about the SmackDown that we watched.
So mine's way better than yours. Okay. I know. Okay. You had a great week, and your wife's awesome. Really awesome. That's amazing. I got two surprises this week, and good surprises. So I took some time off this week, and
you did,
I have a couple of days off. So I was going to get, I just was going to play Pokemon and the new game drops on Thursday and clean my house and kind of put some Christmas decorations up. And I did all that stuff, but I had to take breaks to build Lego. So I have a little like Lego video thing I'm doing, but I'm doing it on my own time so that I get to keep intellectual creation concept. That's a whole different conversation. But yeah, and what ended up happening was it's kind of gotten around. I've started sharing the videos with people and some of the people at my church. And so on Monday, as I get a little thank you gift from the people that I organized my event for on Monday, and they got me the Hulkbuster Lego one from the Wakanda Black Panther, it's like part of the Infinity War. So it's like Bruce Banner in the Hulkbuster with Okoye and a few other characters. So that's amazing. That was fun to put together. So then I go to work on Friday. I'm just like, I'm off, but I'm like, I'll go to this Friday mass. I'll go. It'll be quiet. I can have some prayer time. Just normal Friday for me. And somebody stops me on my way out and they go, hey, I saw your videos and you don't look like you have this character. So I got this for you. And I now have the Star Wars one where it's Yoda and R2-D2 riding in the back of the starship. Not sure where I'm using the starship in Bible stories, but definitely amazing that I got Yoda and Baby Yoda. So it's like that. Yeah, I already filmed all the Christmas stuff. So if not, Baby Yoda definitely would have been there. Also, you know, every time you need an old wise, I just had the wise men roll into town and roll out. If not, Yoda would have been one of the wise men.
Well, I mean, he was a wise man, so.
Next year, Yoda's rolling in on a camel. It's like a Batman, Yoda, and I'll replace, I had Mace Windu in there. So yeah, I don't know. I like using the big three, somebody from DC, somebody from Marvel, somebody from Star Wars. So there'll be some character swapping next year, but wise men, gotta be Batman.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, that's it. That was all. Yeah, that was okay. So, and then thank you for listening to Smack Daddy's podcast. Because Greg is not going to want to talk about the SmackDown show. So, why don't we delay it some more, Greg, and we'll talk a little news. There's one big news story that we have to talk about, and it pisses me off. And I'm probably going to surprise people because I think most people have figured out I am rather conservative in my beliefs. But
I know exactly. I got it all queued up. You just hit that stinger and let's go. Okay, so the big news Brad is talking about here, for those who don't know, I'm going to start with this because this, I think, is the hottest story of the week. Warner Brothers Discovery announces Big Little Brawlers reality series. The members of the Micro Wrestling Federation roster are to be featured on the show. Big Little Brawlers premieres January 9th, 2024 on Discovery Network. It's a 6-part reality series. Alongside spectacular feats of athleticism, Discovery Series broadens the way we reveal compelling stories of remarkable people overcoming huge odds, says Howard Lee, president of Discovery Networks and TLC in a press release.
So are we getting this here in Canada?
Well, I'm getting it one way or the other, but...
Yeah, I know I'm going to find it through other means if I have to. This is like the best thing that is happening when it comes to reality TV. My wife, I mentioned to my wife and she's like, I'll watch that with you. So, all right, it's date night. I love this stuff.
Big Little Brawlers recaps coming to you on the Smack Daddies podcast. And I'm just realizing now that my video is frozen.
Oh yeah, whatever. We'll just keep going, Greg. It's fine.
All right. Good enough. Keep on going. But yeah, I'm assuming that was the news of the week that you wanted to talk about, right, Brad?
No, I really would like to talk about the bullshit with Liv Morgan.
Oh, okay, I'll get to that eventually. I'll get to that. Don't worry. We'll cover that in a minute. That was the last one. That one's not really that big of a deal. All right, next up. WWE debuted a new concept at Friday Night SmackDown taping. WWE Speed. On WWE Speed, matches have 5-minute time limits. The winner of the match receives 1 point. The loser of the bout is docked 1 point. And if it goes to a time limit draw, no points are awarded. A 5-minute countdown clock appears on the video wall during the contest. It's believed that this was actually a TV show pilot or perhaps digital media property, as commentators Corey Graves and Kevin Patrick were calling the matches. And the show was being produced for broadcast. A WWE Speed logo was displayed on the video wall, as well as the ring aprons and ring posts during the taping. This week's taping had Axiom from NXT facing SmackDown Cedric Alexander, and Ross Bronson Reed versus NXT's Nathan Frazier was also taped for this. So that was interesting come Friday night. Are we going to see WWE Speed coming up?
I don't know.
But if so, I think it should be in the fast lane.
If you told me these were 10-minute matches, I really like the concept of like a 10-minute time limit. And then you just tell people that we're going to stay with this match for the 10 minutes. There's no commercial break.
I don't know. I think the 5-minute could be interesting. What can you get done in 5 minutes? So I don't know if it's the ADHD brain or what, but I like this 5-minute idea. I'm going to... You know, if I can get a copy of this, I'm going to watch this.
I like it as a concept of points, too. Like, if you told me they were going to put 10 undercard guys or 12 undercard guys and two groups of six, like they're doing with AEW in the gold and blue tournament, the Continental Classic, whatever they're calling it, it sounds like a fun way to do this. And it gives these guys who are lower an opportunity. Take the NXT as well. It's like you have a tournament and the winner gets to leave NXT.
Yeah, I mean, put some stakes in it, right? But I don't know. I'm interested in this. We'll wait and see. Unfortunate news, and this kind of came to light after we recorded last week, but and was announced on the show last night. WWE star Charlotte Flair is going to be taking some extended time away from the ring. It was announced that she suffered a knee injury in her match with Asuka last week and will be out probably 9 months.
Yeah, that explains when we cut back from commercial and they're both there, the botch that threw that match into disgustingness. I will repeat what my wife said, though, which is, one of the things about Charlotte is she always commented on the moonsault, and she's like, somebody her size moonsaulting to the outside, to the floor, should not be a regular occurrence. And she's like, her first line was, did she wreck her knee on that moonsault?
Yeah. And it wasn't, it was that rope spot, right?
Apparently if you go back and watch the match, she's holding her knee after the moonsault. Like, so who knows when the injury occurred? Like, it was the rope spot, but did she do any structural damage when she lands that moonsault? Or she been doing slight damage for the last 6 months, Greg? Like, every time she hits that moonsault, we're always like, she A, doesn't hit it, B, it looks spectacular, but C, it's like, she's a very muscular, like very talented athlete who's landing on mats, and that's wear and tear, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. WWE hasn't actually announced what the injury is. 9 months You know, would put it into the expected recovery time for a torn ACL. So
yep.
The speculation is a torn ACL, but I mean, they won't say what it is. But yeah, well, anyhow, best of luck to Charlotte, you know, as she recovers from that injury. And yeah. And last but not least, Liv Morgan was arrested in Florida because she had pot. That came out while we were watching SmackDown. That's it.
This pissed me off so much because, like, when they said how much she had, I was like, that's it. And then I was waiting for them to say she blew over the limit or they tested her and she's just possession. It's so dumb because the rules are so different state to state. And it's just stupid.
I have one word for you, Florida.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, let's get to this episode, which is one of two tapings from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Greg, what number are we at? You're checking.
Got to get our crack research team on it because I was more worried about how you would go off. This is episode number 1,269 and 1,270 of SmackDown, taped on December 15th, 2023, from the Reich Center in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Roman Reigns returning, and Roman Reigns comes out there and it's his first night of work since Saudi Arabia. Greg, how do we get this kind of work arrangement?
I don't know, but I'm going to be talking to my boss about it on Monday.
Yeah, me too. It's like, this idiot gets to work like four times a year. Can I get that deal? I don't think it's going to work when I try and ask for it.
You don't think it's going to work?
No. And then, all right, so then we get into this promo. Roman does his acknowledge me shtick, and he says, if you people weren't booing me, I wouldn't have to ask for this. And then he's in a good mood. It's the holiday season. It's promotion time. And the whole time, Jimmy's in the background making faces like, oh, yeah, promotion. Eventually, the crowd does a Yeet chant, a Randy Orton chant, and the tribal chief, you know, cuts them off. And he says Jimmy's name and he steps forward, but really he's giving a promotion to Solo. And Jimmy looks kind of sad. He declares Solo the next tribal chief, the tribal chief in waiting, the heir to the tribal chief throne. I mean, he gives him like a whole bunch of titles. And then Randy Orton comes out. What do you think? Okay, let's start there because the commercial breaks this up. How are we doing so far, Greg? Where's the temperature in the room?
The temperature in the room or the temperature of my blood or the blood pressure that's on me that having to watch this. I'm over to the point now where I'm not feeling any of this bullshit anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I'm ready for this storyline to be over, but you know, it's not over until WrestleMania.
I don't even have confidence it'll be over then.
Do you think he's going after Hogan's title reign?
At this rate, I would put nothing past them.
Dude, you could tell this was a double taping because this was the first to the commercial break. Then Randy comes out. I only imagine what the crowd is getting as Randy slow, like. At least they had the good sense of not making us watch Randy slowly walk to the ring.
Yeah, so this is where I was like, okay, I think you're 100% correct here. They cut the commercial, and obviously then they started this stuff early, so that way they could get out early, because, you know, there was no wasted space here, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't have, like, it's almost like, okay, cut. All right, back again. And nothing happened in those, you know, 2 minute commercial break.
Yeah, it was well paced. Randy Orton comes out. He talks about the 18 months he's lost, is here to get even with the bloodline. And he's done nothing but think about how he's going to get even with the Bloodline and Roman Reigns for the last 18 months. And Roman laughs, I haven't thought about you for the last 18 months. And you, if you come into this ring with me, this is going to be, isn't going to be another 18 months. It's going to be your retirement. And basically Orton rebuts. And he talks about how he sees that something has changed. He looks at him in the eyes and says that there's something new that's there and that he has evolved and you've become a legend. But one thing never changes. I'm always the legend killer. And Roman then smirks and Randy nearly RKOs him out of his boots as, oh, I can hear the voices in my head and you're talking about those voices. Taps his head and says, the voice in my head said, did you just crap your pants? And daddy's home. Greg, we need to sue. If you're doing daddy stuff on Friday on SmackDown, that's our shit.
Yeah. I mean, what would we get out of it though? Like our own private bus for going to SmackDown tapings or like, is that your ultimate goal here, Brad? Like, don't give this idea. Like, Burkhead is going to be all over this now. Like,
oh, listen, I am already working on, I think I'm going to spend some time today on Canva working on a t-shirt logo, the Daddy's Home t-shirt.
Interesting.
Maybe Smack Interesting. Daddies are home.
Smack Daddy's Home. Okay. All right. All right.
Oh, you know what? If we did a Smack Daddy's Home with a Nova Scotia logo in the background, it plays off the locally here. We have all those, home shirt, like the, they mm-hmm, do like home mm-hmm. and yeah. I think we can do something with this.
Yep. No, I like it. I like it.
Okay. So, right. Merch ideas and we'll send them over to the, to Poppy himself and see if we can get him greenlit for some future merch. Mm-hmm. So we're back. Yeah. Greg, this second part, I got to tell you, the thing that I love about Randy Orton is that there's no waste in Randy Orton. His promo wasn't any longer than it needed to be, but it had good beats. And this was two pros cutting a promo in the ring.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I would agree. I think that that's probably an accurate statement.
And it built, I know it doesn't make you want to see the match anymore, but it does build up the tension between these two.
It does. I just don't have faith anymore in WWE and Roman Reigns. So yeah, I don't. And I see where it's going. Obviously, you know that Randy Orton has challenged him for Royal Rumble, but yeah, that's not gonna, you know, it's not gonna happen there. So whatever.
So I'm gonna ask the listeners to do me a favor. I am going to manually insert, I want some new rewind sounds for this. So if you can do your best impression of a rewind into a microphone and then send it to me as a short audio file, that'll be great. I'm going to give you a demonstration because we have recap number one. Is that terrible?
Yeah, pretty well.
Okay, I'll go back to the regular recap sound. So if you can do better than that, we would love to hear it. So this is the Carmelo Hayes hype package. Greg, you don't watch a lot of NXT. Like, this guy looks like $1 million.
Sure. Did I fast forward through this though? Yes, I did.
Of course you did. That's fine. But you have to say that match number one, Carmelo Hayes versus Grayson Waller, this was a spectacle.
Yeah, this was a pretty good match. I gotta say, I was very happy to see that.
I love Logan Paul's little inset promos where he just shoots on the face and he made fun of Carmelo like hard in his inset talking about how his family should watch this episode because it's the only time he's going to be on national television.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. I'm curious to see what your kid would say about that though.
Oh yeah, I'm sure I haven't showed him any of the Grayson Waller stuff. So, but I'm sure I should probably, I did keep this episode of SmackDown with that in mind. So early on, we have a great sequence where they're like flying off, like using the ropes and just moving around. Grayson Waller takes control after a sidekick and Hayes hits an amazing fadeaway drop or a leg drop where he logically gets Waller caught in the ropes and then he springboards off the ropes and backwards lands a leg drop onto Waller. Greg, like that fadeaway was amazing.
It was. Do you know what? I didn't like that initially on the first view. It almost looked like he kind of missed it. But when they did the replay and flipped it to the backside where you could see him actually do that move, that's like, holy crap. Like that looked, it looked so much better when you just saw the replay of it.
And just the precision where he knows exactly how far he has to get to land it. It was, and it was a good bump. Waller hits a rolling, he hits a rolling like dive. And it knocks Waller down, or it knocks Hayes down, and that takes our commercial. So we have Hayes rallying afterwards. He hits his spinning face buster. Waller goes to top ropes, and I don't know if it's the playmakers, the old MVP, like spinning leg drop, where he like puts his leg on the back of his neck. It looked, that was insane. The fact that like basically you have Hayes doing a cartwheel while hitting this move, like the guys are, dude, this was amazing. And then this all leads to Waller comes flying into the ring, and we get a version of a code breaker from Hayes. And then he hits his nothing but net leg drop on top rope, which the cool thing about that is he tucks his legs and then he extends them right at the last minute. Just his body control is amazing. I hope that he comes up with a different finisher, just for the fact that I don't want to see him land it on his torso. But he's not like Hogan, where he's 300 pounds. I think he'd probably get away with it for a few years, but yeah. Hayes won. I was shocked, but happy.
Yeah, Hayes won. I was not shocked because I actually had been... had read what was going to happen on the second episode taping, so I kind of knew in advance Hayes was going to win, but I didn't know how we were going to get there, and honestly I figured it was going to be some sort of outside interference. So glad to see the clean win here.
Yeah, and I'm happy for Hayes. He's a former NXT champion. He's always in the mix for the title on NXT, so to put him over, smart.
Yep, very this much is- so.
And this was the match of the night. If you go back and watch one match, this is it.
100%. 100%. This was the match. This was what you wanted to see on the SmackDown.
And this is how you debut a superstar. Because even if he doesn't go, even if he only gets one more match in this tournament, or it doesn't matter. He's made. He's a made man.
Yep. Yep. This is what you expect to see off of someone who's new and coming in.
And the commentary was so good in this match, referring to the fact that Waller and Hayes had an NXT title match, and that's the one where Waller broke his leg, and just the history between these two. And it was smart to pair two guys who have good chemistry so that the other guy can make a big debut.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so Knight's there in the back with Randy Orton. Basically, Orton says, "Hey, man, we're cool." And he said, and LA Knight wants to take out the Bloodline just like him, and Randy wants him to stay out of his business. And the question is, can they get along?
Probably not. Probably not. I actually was expecting Randy Orton to say, "Who the hell are you?"
Yeah. No.
Like, I honest to God was expecting that.
What's like, why can't anybody in this, why can't anybody have friends?
I believe there's a song here about why can't we be friends.
Why can't we be friends? Yeah, I know what you mean. It's, yeah, it's, this is messy. This is going to get messy very shortly. So.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. Recap number two. Blue. That was worse than the first one. So we are having Kevin. See, you could record one for us and do better than that. We are having recap of the Kevin Owens attack and how he broke his hand.
Sure, yes, that's exactly what you're getting.
You skipped right through this so that you could see Kevin Owens versus Austin Theory. Logan Paul's second inset promo, basically talking about how Kevin Owens looks like he's a fat kid who plays dodgeball, who takes it way too seriously and needs to put his sleeves back on shirt.
Yes, that's what we got.
Cracked me up. So this match is all about the story of Kevin Owens showing how you can wrestle a match with one arm.
This is the story of Cowboy Kevin Owens.
Oh yeah, it was really good. they were having it, the cannonball off the apron early from Owens was great. And I was like, oh, glad they didn't suplex Owens onto the apron. And then literally a minute and a half later, he gets suplexed by Theory onto the apron, where he like crosses his leg and just suplexes the crap out of him. And that leads us to the commercial break. We come back, Owens hitting a DDT. Theory then hits a seated Spanish fly, where he does like a springboard Spanish fly off top rope with Kevin Owens. That's insane.
Very much so.
Like Owens, for a guy his size, the way he can flip around, amazing. But Theory hits a jumping blockbuster. He still can only get two. My favorite part of this match, though, is when Theory is caught in a tree of woe and Owens comes flying in with a cannonball. It just looked awesome and somehow looked relatively safe all at the same time. Swanton, but that's only two. And eventually Owens realizes, hey, I have a cast on my arm. And he just wallops Theory with the cast and pins him. And Corey Graves loses his mind on commentary. Can we object to this? And it's like, they gave him the cast. This is their fault.
Well, again, I go back to the whole, you know, Cowboy Bob Orton thing, right? I mean, I think Kevin Owens now should be, playing that role in the Cowboy Bob Orton spirit and find a way to use this cast. I don't want Kevin Owens not to have the cast again. Like, just leave it on.
It reminds me of, Big Show had the same thing where he had that weapon of mass destruction. They broke his hand, and then they realized by putting his arm in a cast, he actually had a weapon.
Yeah.
The only problem with this is we just saw this with Cody over on Raw like 4 months ago.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't watch Raw, so what the hell
Bloodline stuff in the back. Roman Reigns is there. And Jimmy's trying to talk Roman into saying that the future tribal chief, the heir to the tribal throne, should be the one that takes out Randy. And he says, hey, man, you want a promotion too? You need to take out Randy. Sure.
Why not?
Poor Jimmy is in the... Well, you're the lowest man on the totem pole. Time to get fed to somebody spot.
Yeah, that's what we got. What we're getting here.
The worst part of the show. Karrion Kross, TikTok. There's urgency. He's about to... Things are coming. He needs to take care of business. Things are about to crumble. I wrote the word recycle in here. TikTok. What was this? I really don't know, Greg.
No, it was a promo that was recycled.
Are we supposed to believe that Karrion Kross could beat anybody?
No.
If anybody so him and Baron Corbin needs to switch spots, because Baron Corbin's ready to come back up to the main roster, and Karrion Kross needs to go back down.
Oh my God! Did you see? I don't know if it was on our board, if I saw it on Facebook. But did you see the picture of Billy Madison with all the like kindergartens around him? And it's like Baron Corbin in NXT.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of. But you see, the thing is, I think it's great to send a guy down and let them retool and then come back. I think Karrion Kross needs to retool. And it's not, none of this is his fault. They just brought him in with all this hype and they show highlights of him like feuding with Roman and being involved in the main event picture, and no one has slid down the card faster than Karrion Kross.
Nope. I'm gonna argue on that one, and it's coming up.
Oh yes. Well, here's another one. Cameron Grimes. Hey, Cameron Grimes. He just basically says hello to Kevin Owens before Kevin Owens ends up talking to Kayla. Yeah, you know what? But the difference was Cameron Grimes came in at a US title level, and I wouldn't say he's that far away from it, where Karrion Kross came in at the world title level and he is miles away from it.
So, I mean, is there even really a thing at a US title level? Does that even exist? What is it, a US title level? If they can give a part-time guy who's been there, who's on the Roman Reigns schedule and shows up once in Saudi Arabia and just phone shit in from home?
He'll be there at Royal Rumble.
Maybe.
Whatever. Anyways, basically, Kevin Owens says Kevin Owens things where he goes, yeah, that guy's right next to me. And sure, Carmelo's there. And Carmelo's being very respectful, but he wants the U.S. championship and he needs it more than Owens. And Yeah. He's not going to be disrespectful, but you're not going to little bro me. And then Kevin Owens asks the question that we're all asking. What does little bro mean?
Yeah. What does it mean, Brad? Have you figured it out? Because I certainly haven't.
To little brother, somebody means to like treat them as if they're less than.
All right.
So that was what the Urban Dictionary / my kids told me. So.
Oh, I'm glad because I freaking didn't know.
Kevin Owens, like, that was the ultimate dad comment. What the hell does that mean? Like, it's like, I'm not cool. Why should I know what this is? So we get recap number 3, blue. That is Charlotte and her knee injury. And Bayley and Damage Control cut a promo saying they're going to win all the titles. The Kabuki Warriors are back together. They're going to go after the tag titles. And Bayley rumble and take out Rhea Ripley. Interesting.
I love this segment. I 100% loved this segment. I loved that they're not teasing Bayley breaking up with the Damage Control. It was still very much like you could kind of maybe infer some things here with the I created Damage Control. This was my vision. Here's how we're doing things. That there's still that option there, but I mean, it's way buried in the back.
And it gives us
this idea.
Yeah, it gives us stuff to do, Greg. And it, like, if the only thing what I would have added for cherry on top is that Dakota Kai, as soon as she gets cleared, we're going to have her start going to NXT and she's going to take that title and then we have everything.
Yep. And that might happen.
That would be great. I would love to see them get their hands on all the titles, although I think they're going to break up before that happens. But,
well, we'll see.
Speaking of the Kabuki Warriors, they come out and they're going to have a match with Zelina Vega and Meechan, but they attack from behind and that's what really starts this match. I mean, the thing about this match that was great was we got to see a lot of Meechan, who is incredible in that ring.
Sure. I mean, this is one of those things again where it's like one of these things is not like the other. You kind of knew in advance what you were going to get here. I didn't think we were going to see Meechan and Zelina Vega do anything in this match. They did get some offense, which was kind of nice.
Yeah,
but you knew that Kabuki Warriors were going to win this one.
Yeah, I mean, you get to see Zelina show off her DDT and her 619. Meechan does some of her kicks, but this all just leads to a distraction from Dakota Kai. Bayley pushes Meechan off the top ropes. Asuka hits a kick and Kairi hits her crazy elbow. There it is. I mean, it was what it was supposed to be. Yeah. And Jimmy's in the back then after this. And Solo is there. I love this bit because he's like saying, you know, you're my brother. You know, you'd have my back, right? And Solo says, brother. And then just makes a fist. It's like, do you not remember that he took out the other brother a while ago?
Right, right. Well, here's what's driving me nuts about this is that it's telegraphing, right? The whole first segment, this segment is, you know, this is Solo who's going to be the next in line. So Jimmy and Jay are eventually going to wind up back together when they realize that they're going to need to take down Solo. And yeah, so I'm so over this bloodline shit and this infighting stuff. I didn't even want to watch the first segment tonight.
Well, I will say we did get a very interesting inset promo from Escobar from here. And I mean, he really, so this whole thing between Escobar, his promo where he basically puts over where he is, and then Bobby doing a hype promo using the Street Profits as his hype man, talking about the right. US title. And I can't do justice to this, but both of these promos back to back really set up the match next week. And Bobby Lashley is not a heel anymore, right? He's officially switched sides.
I don't even know. I don't know if he's a heel. I don't know if he's a face. I don't even know anymore.
If he's meant to win this tournament, he's the face.
Well, yeah, maybe. We'll see.
But here's the
we'll see what happens next week.
Here's the good thing about this quarterfinals or this semifinals is that you have four guys that you could all say Escobar's in the middle of a push. Bobby Lashley is also been on a dominant run, hasn't lost a match in a long time. Right. Kevin Owens has the feud going with Logan Paul, so you can see that. And Carmelo Hayes is the hot prospect who's come in from NXT, and yeah, it's an upset, but it, I mean, stranger things have happened. That would be a great way to call him up, is to say that he's going to has a good showing with Logan Paul, even if he doesn't win, because whoever is getting fed to Logan Paul is not winning this match.
Yeah, I think you're probably right here. Let's see a little bit later. We can talk more about what we're going to see next week. So,
yep. So, okay. So that's all done. And now we are on to our main event. It's going to be Randy Orton versus Jimmy Uso. This is a very classic Randy Orton plotting style match. And I would normally say that's a bad thing, but because we haven't seen it in so long, I am very impressed. What?
I was going to say, not so bad, right? Because we haven't seen it in 18 months.
And he's playing a face now. And just the little things like him getting punched in the corner. And then he does, as Corey Graves calls it, a classic Greco-Roman thumb to the eye.
Yeah.
Amazing. And then even little things like when he goes to attack, and do this draping DDT, he gets countered and goes to the floor. That's amazing. It was just different. Right. We come back from that, and Jimmy goes off the ropes and looks like he's going to get hit by the power slam. He avoids it, and then Randy hits it on the second attempt. Totally different than normal, Greg.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's exactly what you would expect, right?
And then he goes for the draping DDT again and gets hung up on the ropes, but eventually gets it. And then he's like, so you have Jimmy down, and he's like, I'm going to milk this. And he goes to every corner, and the crowd gets up like he's going to hit the RKO. And then he goes down in the position and smacks his fists, and down comes Solo.
Yeah.
And you're like, uh-oh, this is going to go sideways. Nope. LA Knight with the save. And then the RKO, he beats Jimmy. And I look at the clock going, there's like 8 minutes left in this show, Greg. What the hell is going to happen?
What do you think, CM Punk was going to come out because you've already turned it off, or?
No, I'm like, okay, so something's going to happen. And then Roman comes out and I'm like, is he going to walk all the way to the ring just for a face off? And then no,
with 8 minutes left, because that's what it would take, right? 8 minutes takes Roman to walk to the ring.
It's a double taping.
All right. So that's what, 16 minutes in.
Yeah. So anyway,
he
walks to the ring, and then he actually gets in the ring and starts fighting. And then of course, Jimmy gets involved. And then we're going back and forth with and he's getting beat down. So LA Knight makes the save.
Right.
I'm like, okay, this is how this is going to end. And then Solo gets in and I'm like, uh-oh, there's no other faces available. This is going to end badly. And I figure we're just going to get a beat down for 5 minutes, but out of nowhere from the crowd.
You did the math.
Well, that's what I did. I figured
you did the math, right? 3-2. Okay. This isn't going to go so well.
Yeah, and then we get 3-3 because in comes AJ Styles. And AJ Styles, then from the crowd, he comes in, runs in from the crowd, springboards, takes out Roman, and the faces clear the ring. At that point, I'm like, they're just going to cut back and forth, and we're going to hype up what's next week. Because that's where I think we're going. And then for no that's good reason.
What it sounded, right?
Yeah, it looked like it, and these guys were getting along. And then AJ is in the back. Right. He's wearing all black, so he pops LA Knight for no good reason in the back of the head.
What? Yeah,
And then I think he's walking towards the bloodline, but he walks right past the bloodline. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And yeah, I like the little work by Roman and Solo, where Solo looks like he's going to jump at AJ, and Roman's like, no. We got to let this play out.
Yeah. I don't know.
At least it's not boring in the sense that it's not just these three guys are against the bloodline. It's three guys who can't get along, and God knows what we're going to get out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see exactly what it is, but yeah.
It was an interesting way to end, right? Like, that's for me, that's all I want. I want something that's not, this was not what I expected. once we got the three faces, I thought we were going to have the three good guys, three bad guys, and we were going to set up for a feud. But, and I thought that's we were getting the six man next week for sure, being that's a holiday episode. But no, we're getting something else.
Yeah. Well, we'll cover that. We'll cover that later, but when we have next week's show. But that was it for this week. That was how Raw go, or SmackDown goes off the air. And next week they preview the other semifinal matches, or the two semifinal matches that we were getting. They previewed an NXT North American Championship match for some reason on SmackDown between Dragon Lee and Butch. And of course, the biggest thing of all, Halloween Havoc, Holiday Havoc, right? I was going to make a Halloween joke there, but apparently a little slip of the tongue. Holiday Havoc match with Bianca Belair, Shotzi, Zelina Vega, and Meechan versus Damage Control. So,
That's what Charlotte's missing because she's hurt.
Yep, that's what she's missing because she's hurt. So,
and we'll cover that more next week. But in the meantime, Greg, let's tell the people what they should go back and watch as we do your SmackDown synopsis.
This is your SmackDown synopsis.
And your SmackDown synopsis today is brought to you by coffee and a beverage from McDonald's, because that's what we're drinking this morning. And we're just having our morning usuals, getting ready for the day. Greg, what do you want to do with this? So I'll go back through. You can get the scissors out, but I may fight you on a few of these because I think I like this SmackDown a lot more than you did.
This to me was very New Brunswick. The SmackDown was very New Brunswick, except for one real part of it. So, all right, going right back to the beginning, we kick off with our Bloodline segment.
I'm okay with just having Roman rock to the ring and just picking up one when Randy comes in, because I don't think we need any of the foolishness with Jimmy and Solo and the promotion and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we can cut out the first section. I'd agree. From Orton on, I'm okay with, but yeah.
And then the next is the match between Waller and Carmelo Hayes. What do you want to do with this one?
I think we're going to keep this in its entirety. 10 minutes, 22 seconds. Yeah, let's leave this just as it is.
And it's a great introduction for those of you who don't watch NXT to Carmelo Hayes and the stuff you get. Knight and Orton. Can they get along? I'd like to keep this, Greg.
Knight and Orton? Or yeah. You mean... Oh... Sorry, the backstage segment.
Yeah, Knight and Orton, can they get along backstage 2 minutes, like 30 seconds?
Yeah, this is the Who the Hell Are You segment? Yeah, sure.
Why not? Yeah, like I think that one. What do you want to do with Austin and Owens? Sorry, Kevin Owens and Austin Theory.
This is a match that I think we can superstar. This was 13 minutes, 58 seconds, and it didn't need to be.
You really could come in from the commercial lot. Like from the commercial break in the middle. And I think that's where you could, because nothing happens until the commercial. And you're waiting for them to take a spot so that they can take a commercial break. And that's the whole thing. This one, the Roman Reigns in the back. What do you want to do with Roman, Jimmy, and Roman forcing Jimmy into a match?
Cut.
And I assume Karrion Kross is getting cut as well.
Yes, in more ways than one.
How about Cameron Grimes, Kevin Owens, and Carmelo?
Cut.
Oh, see, I kind of want to keep this just because I think it shows off a little bit of Carmelo's past personality and keeps Cameron Grimes employed, and I like that guy.
See, I don't think it's necessary because we already got the Carmelo Hayes and how good he is earlier in the night in the previous thing, so I didn't think I needed this.
Do you want to keep the Charlotte recap to show why she's not on TV?
Sure, why not? What the hell
and
do
then,
I care?
And then let's keep the Damage Control like promo, because I think this may have been the best. This was the best, may have been the best promo of the night.
Yes, I will. I 100%. This was probably one of my favorite things on the show.
Okay, how about Kabuki Warriors? That would be Asuka and Io Sky versus Meechan and Zelina Vega.
No one's ready for the Kabuki Warriors, and no one's ready for this to be cut, so I think we can keep this.
Oh, wow. Okay. So just basically a squash match. Wow. Okay. I did not see that one coming.
The squash, I figured you didn't. But I like what's going on in damage control. I like seeing the Kabuki Warriors together. I think they've got a great look, and I think that they are a great heel tag team. So I like this. I'm going to leave it just as it is.
And you know what? It gives a great... It shows us that Selena and Meechan are both talented workers who at any point when WWE needs some new women vision, they're both ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
We have, like, I think we're, like, there is no woman on the SmackDown roster that you look at and you go, you can wrestle. Like, we from top to bottom, we got some very talented people that make up this roster.
Yeah, I would agree.
So, what are we going to do with the Escobar and Bobby stuff? Do you want to keep this in the hype for next week?
Sure.
Okay, and then Orton's
not
match.
Really, but sure.
I liked it. I thought, especially the Street Profits as Bobby's hype men. It's like they are literally his kids going, come on, do it. You could take out this jerk.
I'm just waiting for them to be like Usos with Roman Reigns. Be like, yeah, yeah. Like
that's basically what they're basically Bloodline light. Only I think they're a little more charming with it than obnoxious. Okay, so the main event was Randy Orton versus Jimmy Uso. Do we need any of this?
14 minutes and 26 seconds of this? No, I don't need any of this. Do you know what I need? I need the superstar with the ending and then the after the match stuff.
Yeah, I think that's it. But I would say if you are somebody who is a worker and you're wondering how to work a crowd, watch this match because Randy Orton, like, he did not take a lot of bumps in this match. And he didn't need to.
No, nor should he. At that age and just coming back from all this, no, he doesn't need that.
And I love just the little things where it's like, it took him three attempts to hit his draping DDT, but he still got it. And then when he did his power slam, they did a slight variation on it. They really, and then when he was going to go hit the RKO, he went and made sure he got the entire crowd up before. And then he went into his pose. He milked his opportunity. And that's what we want out of Randy Orton right now. We know that every time we see Randy in a ring, it's a gift and we're grateful to see him and he should be treated like the legend that he is.
Yep. So
I'm going to be really sad. I'm not going to lie to anyone. I'm going to be really sad when Randy hangs up his boots. Cause unlike John Cena, where we're going to see him in movies and stuff like that. I think when Randy Orton's done, I think he's done. Like I don't see Randy doing movies. I think Randy's going to settle into being a dad and maybe working down in the performance center doing the odd class, but I think he's made enough money that he won't have to do a whole hell of a lot for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably a reasonable expectation.
Maybe we can get the ultimate story where apparently CM Punk really wants to be like the next Shawn Michaels down at the performance center. Can you imagine Randy Orton and CM Punk running the performance center? That's the buddy cop movie I want.
Oh my gosh.
Like two of the worst miserable human beings when they were young. And then like they've mellowed in old age and now they're like hanging out at the performance center, teaching people how to wrestle. It's like they could just do a class, the two of them. These are the things you should never do. And they could just start the list. So guys, what things should you not do? And I'll give you a hint. Just look back at our careers and we'll tell you. Poop in somebody's bag. Poop somebody's bag. Start a fight backstage.
At first I thought you were talking about people looking at mine and your podcasting careers and look at the things you should do.
Well, that's a given. Okay. So that's pretty much it. So Sunday night's main event. If you haven't got your ballot yet, you will be able to fill out the best and worst of coming up. We'll be doing that show as I think Greg and I are going to be able to join this year, which is pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to talking about some of the things that we loved and oh my God, some of the things the worst show I'm actually looking forward to the most, not because I want to make fun of anybody and make anybody feel bad, but just because I don't blame. So I'm going to say this right now. I don't blame the wrestlers half as much as I blame the producers and other people. It's like, who let this stay in the show?
It's going to be a Festivus miracle when we record the worst of show, because I got a lot of grievances to air. There's a lot of things about you people that have pissed me off this year, and you're going to hear about it here on Sunday night's main event.
And we have the main show with Boris this week, where he'll talk about the ins and outs of the business as well. You're going to get live audio wrestling. There's going to be, they have a great show there. You get all of your major shows covered. Steve Swift got it locked down on NXT. You get the Collision catch up with the Grants, who are also going to be covering Rampage for the foreseeable future. Randy and Eric got it on lock doing our Monday Night Raw review. Eric's got Impact. We have Boris and Dax covering the AEW Dynamite podcast, which is going to need a new name. All kinds of stuff, dude. Like, I am always shocked at how much stuff we put out each week. Straight Talk Wrestling is on the network. You get basically a show or two a day for about $1 a week. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. Boris is talking about value to the Patreon, and he's going to be checking with people to add value to the Patreon in the new year. And I am so excited to celebrate Christmas and have some downtime. But don't worry, we'll be back next week. Are you going to reveal the plan on the air, or are we going to talk about this afterwards?
No, we're going to talk about this afterwards.
Okay, perfect. So we will have something for you next week, and maybe even something the week after, because I have a wild idea, and I think we can knock this one out when we record next week's episode as well. Just something that will add a little Christmas cheer to your holiday celebrations.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, well, with that said, I am Brad, he's Greg, and we the ones.